Welcome back to Mind, Body, Spirit on 88.7 The River. I'm your host, Erin Kearse. We are back with Lori Stoiny, family law lawyer, and I'm so grateful that you're here today. There, you know, I don't know what the percentage is now. It seems to change, but gosh, there for a while, it was 50% of marriages were breaking down, and which is such a tragedy. But I think it has a lot to do with people not knowing themselves well enough and bringing a lot of baggage into relationships and finding resentment within that relationship, blaming the other person. And it's really unfortunate. And I want to talk more about that in a minute. But one of the things I wanted to touch on, and I really appreciated what you said earlier about reasonable people can get things done in the meeting room and uncouple consciously. You had mentioned that reasonable people don't go to court. And then we also discussed that sometimes one of them is and one of them isn't. And that's part of the challenge, is that part of the reason you may end up in court is because the other person is being so difficult. So if you are at a point where the meeting room has fallen apart and you're the person in the position where the other person's being really unreasonable and you're the reasonable one and you have a lawyer like yourself, I'm sure you've been in this position before, Lori. So you're moving into the courtroom. How can the reasonable person go into it in the most prepared sense, empowered way and grounded way? Can you tell us a little bit about that? And then we'll switch roles to the challenging individual.
Sure. So I think that, first of all, just having understanding and awareness that you're about to enter a very difficult phase and that it's emotionally and financially draining, right? And just sort of understanding that as the context. And then having all of your legal documents done, not just properly, but correctly. If there is disclosure that needs to be done, it is all done. All of your homework is done. Your house is valued. Your pensions are valued. You've got all of your financial ducks in a row so that if there is a discussion about how to divide everything, you've got that for the judge, right?
And so complete transparency and honesty. So nothing comes up and that you didn't expect.
Correct. And that
even
is
if
one
it's
of
uncomfortable.
Right. And it's required under the family law rules, which are the civil rules of court and also the Family Law Act, right? So it's the law. You have to be, have to complete your disclosure properly. So I would say, a lot of the time people aren't quite right. They don't have everything quite ready. And then that creates delay and it can create frustration on the part of the court. And so if you have your documents, really, that's very important. I would say, secondly, try to come to terms with the fact that hard decisions are going to have to be made. And so I often tell my clients, if they are not together emotionally, then they cannot make these difficult decisions. Like what? Well, maybe you have to sell your house. This home that you feel a sentimental and emotional attachment to that you've had, you've birthed your babies there. I get it. You've lived there your whole life. I get it. But if you're not in an emotionally grounded, centered place, you may not be able to sort of see the forest for the trees to make that offer that, yeah, I understand. I may have to sell that house.
There's going to have to be compromise and to know that in the end, you're going to get what you want, which is freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes there's a transaction that's going to have to happen.
And it may not look the way that you think it's going to look.
Yeah.
When you're in your whole, because if it's fear-based, people want to hold on to what they know and their consistency, which could be their home, yeah. Right? Or their children. Mm. I have a lot of wonderful female mother clients that are mama bears and they hold on to, they vice grip those children, mm-hmm. Well, he's never changed a diaper. Well, he doesn't know how to take them to school Well, guess what? He's here now and he's going to learn mm-hmm. and he's their father mm-hmm. and he wants to be a part of their lives. So yeah. Mom, we need to work on that. We need to let go. So I think a lot of that is what happens along the way when we're trying to, and so the end point of that is always trying to come up with a reasonable offer to settle, right? And you can make those offers at any time. You can always try to resolve your matter. So it depends on what the severity is of those issues, but sometimes people don't want to settle because they want to stay in the home longer or, they'd love to settle the issue of the children, but look, dad's really struggling with addiction. So I can't settle that piece. I have to wait for dad to get better. So there's a lot of, there can be a lot of moving parts.
Does the judge ever step in when they see an extreme reasonable and an extreme unreasonable and make a decision for everybody involved?
So what happens in the court system is you have a couple of conferences with a judge, and the first one is a case conference, and it's only really 30 minutes long to deal with procedural issues like, does everybody have their disclosure in order? If not, I'll make an order for that. And secondly, what are we doing with the kids? Do we have some sort of idea of where they're going to live? What kind of the parenting time we're going to have? If not, do we need the assistance of a third party? If so, do we want to ask the Ministry of the Attorney General, of course, the government, to see if they will get involved and provide some legal representation for the children, right? So that would be through the Office of the Children's Lawyer. And they can request that involvement at a case conference. So it's procedural. You're just doing that, early touch. If the matter does not settle after a case conference, then you have a settlement conference. And that's where you have an hour with the judge. And presumably, the lawyers have filed their settlement conference briefs containing financial offers and offers regarding parenting. And that's where a judge is going to look at both of them. And sometimes it's helpful if the lawyer will do a chart and say, well, this is where we're apart. Okay, we're apart on the money. Let's say 10,000. You're not going to court over $10,000, by the way.
Right.
But let's say, okay, we're apart here, we're apart there. And then the judge can kind of horse trade and say,
Yeah.
okay, where are we apart on the kids? Is it a Tuesday night after school overnight? Where are we apart? And then the judge will talk to them and say, look, this is not worth going to trial. You really need to resolve this. If they cannot resolve their differences, you have to have a trial where that is a judge-imposed solution after days, weeks, however long your trial's going to take, which is a whole
Okay.
other animal and kettle of fish. But most cases resolve out of court without a trial, let's say it that way, right? They will
Okay.
settle. They'll go to court, they'll have this input from a judge, and then they will settle their matter.
Okay. What advice do you have for someone that's being, and I'm sure you've been in that situation too, with someone being extremely unreasonable?
So when it's my client, I have to have a series of discussions with them about the law. I will provide them with case law so that they can see what other judges have done in situations that are similar to theirs. I will explain to them the limits of the evidence and the problems that they're going to encounter with the evidence that is here. I will explain to them how a judge is likely to view the person, their conduct, their behavior in the context of everything. And what it is that I'm recommending. Ultimately, it's up to the client. They may not take that advice, and
Yeah.
sometimes they don't because they are not in an emotional place where they can listen to what I'm saying, accept what I'm saying, and then take up what I'm saying. So
Yeah.
but I'm happy to say and report that over the last 25 years, a lot of them have. And we've been able to bring them along. So I always say that a family law matter will only settle when the parties are emotionally ready to leave each other alone. Because there's a different level of attachment when you're in conflict. Okay. And so what happens is, well, if I didn't get the attention in the marriage, now I'm getting it in separation. And it fuels a different fire within the person. And so sometimes a party doesn't want to settle because then they won't have the attention or that attachment to their partner, even though it's toxic,
And
even though it
sometimes,
doesn't make sense.
and sometimes it might mean that they will have to stand on their own feet. You know, if
Right.
it's someone, for instance, who has made the huge sacrifice in a lot of cases, I believe it's a full-time job to be a parent, you know, to give up a career and stay home. And then they're in a position where they may have to go out and get a job. You know, it's like these truth bombs, you know, or in a situation where, like you say, the dad doesn't want to pay, but it's like, this is what the law says. The law says is what you have to do. So whether it's having the truth bomb, you are going to have to be a strong, independent human and provide for yourself and your children. Or if it means, you know, you went into this agreement and it has broken down and you have a responsibility to your family to help support. Either way, there's truth bombs there. And ironically, as you're talking, I'm seeing there's a forced repair for the individuals that are flawed coming into divorce. So they're obviously, you know, lacking self-awareness or lacking mental resiliency and emotional intelligence, which is why they're in this situation in a lot of ways. And in these situations, you have external people, lawyers, judges, saying, you're being unreasonable. Your expectation of other people is unrealistic. Here's the jagged pill. And whether you like it or not, you're swallowing it with water or raw. You'd get to decide.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that divorce does. And I think that's why it can be really painful for people, because they are forced into standing in front of a mirror and recognizing, you know, what they've created, what they've brought into the situation, and, you know, the repercussions of a lot of choices throughout the days of their marriage, and even sometimes their dating prior to being married, right? So, you know, we talked a little bit about, you had mentioned, I think it was a book, in the cycles that people bring from their limited programming. You know, I talk a lot about programming as a holistic life coach. I talk a lot to people about what shapes us mentally, physically, and emotionally. And there's like this DNA that we take for granted that creates what color eyes we have and what color hair we have, and, you know, whether we have freckles or not. And there are aspects of our experience once we're here, and even before we're here, that shapes our personality and shapes our expectations and teaches us what relationships are or not, or what our experiences could be. So I think in those situations, we're in this situation where that other person also comes into the relationship with those same mental and emotional DNA, if we want to put it. And it's either going to mesh together into a beautiful new chemical, or it's going to repel each other and explode. And right. That's kind of what divorce is. So tell us a little bit about the book you were referring to, and what her references to these types of situations.
I think that I was sort of thinking about the issue of the self-worth,
where
I get a lot of people coming when I'm talking to them, and they retain me, and we're trying to come up with a resolution plan. And sometimes I'm trying to suggest to them things that are more in the client's interest and less in their partner's interest, because I am their advocate. I am not looking out for their partner. I'm looking out for them. But because the client suffers from such low self-esteem and low self-worth, and their whole identity has been sort of enmeshed with their partner and looking for their partner's needs and putting their partner first, they don't know what they want, or they are very uncomfortable in expressing what they want. And so what happens is that party will just say, well, give them everything. I don't care. Well, if it's financial, and I know that they could really use the money, and they say, well, give them everything. It's okay. I'll take what scraps they want me to have, you know. So there's a self-esteem and a self-worth issue. And I often have to coach them in a way to say, now we need to flip this script, because this dynamic that you've had in your relationship has served your partner. It has not served you. And so now, you know, I encourage them to like grow that backbone. Right. And sometimes it's like vertebrae by vertebrae. Right.
Yeah.
And it's a very slow process because it's scary and it's new. And sometimes that growing of the backbone is me sending a letter to their spouse saying, I've retained legal counsel.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden you're in a different playing field. If you want a target, you want a bad guy. That bad guy is now me. It is not your spouse. It is me. I am their mouthpiece. So that can be very empowering and impactful for them. And then as they have a lawyer and they shield themselves from this chatter that they may have with the spouse and manipulation and all of that that could be going on, they start to be able to see clearly, and they might want to be able to, they may be in a better position where they can make better decisions.
Right.
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 And the other thing that I came to mind when you were speaking about how we look to a partner that is all encompassing and that is, you know, here to fulfill every part of our lives. I was just reminded of the teaching and writing of Esther Perel, who is a leading, I believe she's a psychiatrist. She's all over the internet. Okay. I mean, if you Google her name, you'll find her on podcasts and Instagram. And she's an older lady and a therapist and has done extensive research and studies in the issue of relationships and also in the context of sexual relationships. But the one thing that she said is that commented on that in our modern world, we have this idea somehow that our partner is supposed to be our teacher, lover, spouse, friend, tax advisor, human resource analyst, health advisor, travel partner, shopping
protector.
Buddy, cook, protector, defender. I mean, everything. And that's what we have in our modern world. And that's a discussion for a whole other day as how that's even emerged, right? Because isolation in relationships, particularly men, do not have good, you know, relationships with their peers or other men to provide them with some of those things. But anyway, here we are. And it goes back to her idea of, and what your idea was, is that as individuals, we need to work on ourselves so that we can become more whole and approach our relationships with more continuity and alignment within ourselves, so that we can then align with someone who's aligned with who we are. And then you have a higher chance of harmony in relationship.
Yeah.
It's when you have that disconnection. First of all, the person's misaligned. What are you going to find? You're going to find another misaligned person. And like you said, you're going to get a toxic soup at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
And then you got to call me, and I gotta get rid of that soup. So
put the hazmat suit on.
Yeah.
I have loved chatting with you today. I love chatting with you anytime, whether it's professional or just for fun. And hopefully we can get together real soon. I look forward to seeing you. And I'm grateful for all the information you've given. In conclusion, I hear you saying that self-care, self-awareness is really important going into any relationship, but certainly going into a separation and divorce. And if you're looking for someone like Lori, how can people get a hold of you?
They can just send me an email, just LS, my initials, at Giffen, G-I-F-F-E-N, lawyers.com. My telephone number is 519-578-4150. And in addition to myself, I also have another junior lawyer here, Emily Metcalf, who's also handling family law matters. I have three law clerks. We have another experienced lawyer, Richard Knoll, is here. We have support staff. We have a team approach.
You'll take
that
good
we
care of everyone. And you're out of Waterloo, which isn't far away
yes,
for this
we
area.
Are.
Thank
yeah.
you so much,
yeah.
Lori. Love you to bits and pieces. Thanks for coming in
Thank
today.
Thank you, Aaron.
And that was Mental and Emotional Health Tips on Mind, Body, Spirit with Aaron Kears on 88.7 The River, local radio at its best.